Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were speaking about accepting God's invitation, choosing to do what God offers and puts before us, really drawing near to Him, following Him. And I came across a little meditation by Father Jacques Philippe, who is a French priest, a member of the community of the Beatitudes, and quite a spiritual director. He's written a number of books, one on faith that is worth reading. Father Jacques Philippe, I think if you just put in his name and put in faith, I don't remember the title of the book, but it's really worth reading. Father Jacques has this to say about accepting the Lord's invitation, because God offers us a great deal. And so often we're procrastinators. We either don't even hear the invitation, so we're so mired in sin that we don't hear it. It's being given, but we don't hear it. Or we hear it and are procrastinators and put it off. Or we hear it and try it for a little while, God's invitation to follow Him, and then we give up. What we need is the grace from God to say yes to God, yes to God's invitation, and follow Him. Listen to what Father Jacques has to say. Our great drama, he says, our great drama in life is this. Man does not have confidence in God. Hence, he looks in every possible place to extricate himself by his own resources and renders himself terribly unhappy in the process. Rather than abandon himself into the tender and saving hands of his Father in heaven. Yet, how unjustified this lack of confidence is. Isn't it absurd that a child would thus doubt his father when this father is the best and the most powerful who could exist, when he's the father in heaven? In spite of that, it is in this absurdity that we most frequently live. We don't trust the one who absolutely can be trusted. Those are my words. We don't trust the one who is the only one who can be absolutely trusted. What are you going to do about that? You're going to pray to God and ask Him for grace. That is God sharing Himself with us, His life with us. Ask Him for grace to love Him, to want Him, to want His will. And He will help you. Father Jacques says, how many young people, for example, hesitate to give their lives entirely to God because they do not have confidence that God is capable of making them completely happy? And they seek to assure their own happiness by themselves. I'm not giving my life to God. I'm not giving my life to anybody. I'll take care of myself. That's how they think they're going to assure their own happiness. But Father Jacques says, and they make themselves sad and unhappy in the process. We can't make ourselves happy. Only God can. We're made for God. Fleeting happiness, fleeting satisfaction, yes, not permanent. Only God. This is precisely the great victory of the father of lies, of the accuser, succeeding in putting into the heart of a child of God distrust of his father, face to face, distrust of his father. He's the only one you can absolutely trust, and trust him the least. It is, however, marked with this distrust that we come into this world. This is the original sin. Not to trust God in His word, to go our own way. This is the original sin. And our spiritual life consists precisely in a long process of re-education with a view to regaining that lost confidence by the grace of the Holy Spirit, who makes us say anew to God, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. That's what God wants to do, is bring us into that relationship. And it doesn't matter how old we are. There is in us the longing for protection, for security, for help, for hope, for love. in God is all of it. And as Father Jacques says, the irony is he's the one we trust the least. We put our trust in all kinds of fallible people and fallible situations. God is infallible. And as Jacques Philippe says, it's the original sin, the turning away from God, the not trusting God, Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the original sin. And it's ours too. It's tainted us that we mistrust. Ask God, give me grace to trust you. Ask him that every day. Say, by the graces of my baptism and the Holy Spirit who dwells within me, give me grace to trust you. He will. Is that simple? Prayer doesn't have to be long and eloquent. Just has to be meaningful. The first reading for today and this feast of St. Charles Borromeo is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's simple and impossible apart from the grace of God. You can't do it on your own. No matter how much you think you love, there will always be somebody who surprises you, shocks you, betrays you, turns away from you. What do? Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Love one another. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Are you living the law of love? I recommend a little booklet of mine, Captured by Mercy. You can access it from the website. It's not a free booklet right now, but you could access it from the website, Captured by Mercy. We're going to be doing a lot this next year on the mercy of God. But oftentimes, I think one of the greatest obstacles in growing in love of God is the forgiveness of others. Forgiveness of others. And Captured by Mercy is about forgiving those that you thought you never could forgive. I experienced being captured by the mercy of God, and I couldn't do anything else but forgive. God will do that in your life, but you have to want it and choose it, because it goes contrary to everything in us. And remember, I'm going to say this again, because we're constantly having new people. Pope John Paul said clearly, forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. If a great wrong has been done to you, if you need to take legal steps to redress that wrong, you can do so. But you need to do it without malice, without desiring to destroy the other. You need to forgive. Forgiveness is not the opposite of justice, but it is the opposite of resentment and revenge. That's John Paul. Right there is the key, and that's what God wants to give us. The grace that we can love our neighbor, even when they've hurt us. Psalm 112, bless the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Do you reach out to people? Do you look for people who are in need? Do you look for those who have some lack and you could fulfill it? Or are you, as I said last week, so busy you never see the looks on people's faces? You never see the look on their faces. Brothers and sisters, I remember Mother Teresa saying that the greatest poverty in this country was, she said, she went into nursing homes or homes for the elderly, and she said so many of the elderly would be sitting in the front room with their eyes on the door, hoping that someone would come. How many people need us and we turn away? I'm too busy. Never, never be too busy for those in need. Never. Even when you say, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, go. Go. God will lead the way. God will show you what to say. But you go. You care. You love. You support. You walk beside. Don't ever turn away. Blessed is the man who is gracious and lends to those in need. Blessed is the man. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." He doesn't mean hate in the sense that we use the word. He means that you choose God before all others. You choose what God asks before everyone else, even your closest relationships. God will never have you deny those in need, but he wants to be first in your priority. And then as he is first in your priority, he'll show you how to care for all the other people that are priorities in your life. But put God first. He can organize it better than you can. "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, onlookers should laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish.' Or what king marching into battle would not sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple." Now, obviously, this is a section of a teaching that Jesus was given to his disciples. But there are a couple of lessons to be learned, even in this section. Put God first in all your responsibilities. In all your responsibilities, put God first. I don't mean going off saying, "Well, I'm putting God first, so I'm going away for 30 days to a hermitage and your wife and children are left alone." I'm not talking about that. Because if you're really hearing God, God will show you how to care for that family and draw you closer to himself and to others in the process. Put first in your heart what's first in God's heart. When you do that, you put everything else in a secondary position. It doesn't mean they're less important, but it means that God has to be absolutely, solidly in the first position. You look to him for everything, and then through him and with him and by his power, you reach out to all those God has given you. He will help you accomplish what you can't on your own. Put him first. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.